Welcome to Cast and Crank Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Phoenix Rods and Viking Heads. Check out Phoenix Rods at phoenixrods.com or check them out at Phoenix Rods on Instagram. Check out Viking Heads at Viking Head Bait Co. on Instagram or Viking Heads on the interweb. Today's episode is Chris Purcell of Swim Bait Underground and Jerry Rego. We talk about the new bait they dropped, the Rat, and break that down a little bit. It's a pretty quick episode. We'll be back to the regularly scheduled program on Monday. Monday will be Matt Lewers. Been super busy making lead heads. You guys should be able to get them again pretty soon. The next location will be the Longfin. That'll be next week sometime. And that's about it, guys. Check out the Patreon sponsored by Swim It Underground this month. Check out SU if you want to go get one. They dropped today. So go grab some. Support Swim It Underground. They support us, so we'd like you to support them. Also, if you could give us a 5-star review on iTunes, that'd be great. Greatly appreciated. And I think that is it for this week. I hope you guys like this episode. No new gear yet, nothing, but soon, I hope. We'll see. And thanks for listening, guys. Bye. Let's talk about the Rat. So you guys came out with a new bait, SU, and you collabed on a bait. And it's a one-piece Rat. You want to talk about it a little bit?
Well, we've done a couple other baits. Some, haven't come out yet, but we had pretty good success with the D3. But the Underground wanted to, we wanted a Rat that was something different. So it came to me, and, I have a lot of experience with the Rats or whatever. And so I just says, I'm working on something, and I got something. And let me, basically, I think... I sent Chris a picture of the gray one, and the picture I had kind of jumped out. He goes, man, we'd like to look at that. And of course, it had the diamond lip. I knew it worked, and I mostly sold most of them through Swim Bait Underground, Tackle Warehouse, and everything. But they wanted something, and I worked on the diamond lip was originally not for the twisty tourney. I was putting them on my Rapala style baits for brown trout because I rip them and it was less resistance. So because of the less resistance, most rat fishing is kind of slow, but I wanted a rat to dive, but I didn't want, I wanted less resistance. So where they show like some of the pros fishing crankbaits where they put a lot of line out, light line, they get down on their knees, stick their tip in the water because they're trying to get down to 30 feet or something, mm-hmm. just with a crankbait. But there's a lot of resistance. Rod's bent over, whether it's scratching the bottom or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I thought because of the small resistance with my brown trout lures that ripped really easy compared to a standard lip, mm-hmm. I was looking for less resistance but still trying to get the depth. And, of course, the wiggle... getting the same wiggle. So I started messing with it on the Rat, on some of my other rats, and it just wouldn't wasn't getting the depth at all. I was getting the less resistance. But then I started messing around, and I had I was working on D3 at the same time. We had a bait I gave away with the Underground, and the customer that got it didn't quite understand it. We liked it, and then they wanted to look at the bait, so they got the bait back from them. And so then they said, hey, man, can we get something like this?
Well, was this a resin bait?
Yeah.
Okay.
But when I put the lip on this new rat, it became, instead of a lesser resistance to the water or whatever, it was doing this twisty-turny thing that I kind of didn't expect. Even though... the D3 is twisting, turning all over the place. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting it with a one-piece bait. So when I approached them with this bait, they were looking for something different. It was just everybody jumped on it and liked it. And then for me, I fished it quite a bit. And, I live where there's a lot of smaller bass, but they're not exactly easy. But I noticed an immediate response. So we moved forward with it, and basically we didn't change a lot. You know, they put their input to what they wanted. And the main thing that I wanted to bring, you know, I've had other one-piece rats, but nobody's really jumped on it. Or actually, I should say there's a lot of non-believers. They think a rat's got to have multi-joints. For instance, let's just say three joints. Mm-hmm. Now you got a snake, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And while you might have a subtle rat, and a lot of rats, when you watch them in the water, they are subtle. But in my opinion, the subtle ones don't get bit like the aggravated ones.
Or dying, you know, or something like
yeah,
that.
Or yeah, or let's just say a straight-up wake bait. Yeah. And, but basically, this one has a different action, but it's also a fish-attracting action. So, you know, I stopped, you know, I didn't want to lose the baits or anything or have anybody find it, but we sent the bait out. It's taken a while
find
to get it.
What do you mean?
Well, I laugh because we had sample colors of each one, and we were up working with Butch last year, and we went to the lagoon at night, Ben and I, on the east shore there, and I lost one real quick in the tules. I don't know who got it, but it's out there somewhere. It's been out there for a year.
Real nice, Chris.
Yeah, it's good.
The thing I like better than the resin is the injection.
And that's
what this rat is.
See, that's the crazy thing is you've done this forever, and we talked about it on the last podcast. You're very big on the injection. You'd rather just have an injected mold. They all swim the same. You know they're going to be
I think perfect. They're tougher. The paint lasts longer.
Yeah.
Better
paint schemes just, as
you know,
well.
They're easy to manipulate inside at one point, meaning, you know, weights, rattles, whatever. But I've always liked injection, even, you know, toys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just, I can tell you I like the plastic toys better than wood toys.
The one thing that caught my eye, and I'm nobody, I'm an idiot, but it's a solid one-piece bait. What advantage do you think you have over a two-piece rat? Like, what's the difference, like the big difference for you?
Well, I've never noticed that a rat with a rattle or a joint, and we all know they make noise. You can feel it on your line. You can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And but I haven't seen, because I've made several one-piece rats, that that it's an advantage. You know, obviously the ones, they jiggle. And like I said a few minutes ago, at a certain point, too many joints, you start getting a snake attack,
yeah,
a snake action. Some people like that, some don't. But the one-piece, though, that I like, what I like about the one piece is obviously simple, you know, but the other thing is, you know, this bait had to be a little longer to have two hooks. Most of my rats only have one hook. Doesn't matter how big they are, but you know, big or small, because they come up and to me, it seems like they pull the belly down every time.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while they crash it from the side, but mostly pull the belly down. That's just the natural thing. So most of mine only had one hook. I had no problem hooking them and or losing them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but with the hard bait, especially like say this, you know, the injected plastic, is I believe that their teeth slide to the hook. Whereas, because I have soft rats, and I'm, you know, with the, like say, with the harness inside or weedless or, you know, with nothing, and you know they swim pretty good. They swim as good as the hard one.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hook them. I don't hook the fish as much. The weedless ones obviously don't swim the same. They're more for like twitching or whatever.
Yeah.
But as far as with the lip and the whole deal, because I think they grab that rubber and you can't move it.
Can you pull one out, you know, so people can see the bait, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, but I believe that.
My signature color.
Is that really your signature color?
No, it's not.
Well, you prefer pink, don't you?
No, brown. Is that a brown rat?
I caught my biggest on this one, so
I joke around
saying that it's my signature color.
By the way, I didn't have a brown one.
So shape on that. Let's talk about shape a little bit. So the rat is kind of like a banana, like you were talking earlier.
So
why that?
I've always been being a / part-time brown trout fisherman too. I always liked the apex and the flatfish.
Okay.
But they're slow baits. You know what I mean? But they have a ton of action. I always like that banana style.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say 20 years ago, I had a couple custom baits from Japan. I can't remember what they were, but they had flared gills and the water could go through them. And I actually, I obtained them to fish for brown trout.
Mm-hmm.
But they were bass lures. And I just liked the action. And then when I, this was something, I just cut it with a bandsaw. And cut a little more, and cut a little more. Glued the joint back together, swam it, and I just went, oh, wow, this is something I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, but it didn't have the tail at first. And then I just thought, I'm putting a rat tail on this. And I immediately abandoned what I was working on to make this rat. and then I was actually a little surprised, you know, when, you know, working with Swim Bait Underground about, you know, that they liked it. Because I was really falling in love with it. And then when we got the first, so like I said, I quit making the resin ones. I probably only made a few, a couple smaller ones, a couple big ones.
Is there a sweet spot on the rat, like a sweet spot size-wise, you think?
This is what I'm going to tell you about the rats is the little rats sell more, but you sell them for a smaller price. But the medium-sized rats, for me, you get way more hookups. Let's say medium and large.
Okay.
Because I think the little ones, they poke at them. You know, I've caught a lot of trout on the smaller ones, you know, when I'm fishing for bass.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to play with it like a killer whale with a seal. That's in my opinion, with a seal, right?
Yeah.
But the big one, hey, man, I'm in jail. I got to take him out. He's gonna come after me. I got to knock out the big guy.
Yeah.
And I think the little fish included, clobber the bigger rats, and then big rats even bigger, you actually eliminate a lot of the smaller fish with the, you know, let's just say a 9-inch, you know, we've got one over here, if I can reach it over there, you know, we got a bigger. I always make several sizes just to try them out, and we might have this down the road, but this is about what I would say would be the best size for everybody in America.
Hold it up and kind of talk about it so you can see it in front of the camera. Talk about maybe the bill placement, the hook placement, why you did all that, stuff like that.
Well, the bill placement comes from making a lot of the lures, but the diamond, like I said, started out as a, you know, less water, moving less water, coming through the water easier. But combined with this banana body, you know, this bait's going to turn about like this.
Okay.
And does it swim like a rat? I don't know. If it does swim like a rat, it's like it's struggling rat.
There you go.
You know, it's funny. I fished the pink one the other day. And when I walked up to the hole, I noticed that there was a dead rat. It's pretty rare. And of where I, you know, where I live. And the first thing I thought was, shoot, we're too small. The rat was big. But somebody caught that rat and threw it there, stepped on it, and killed it. It's weird that it was, you know, it's in a fishing hole 3 miles from my house. But so I'm not scared to go bigger. But once again, you know, and you don't know what's going to happen. You know, when they just come out. But the main thing about this rat that I noticed was, I probably fished it exclusively topwater with the resin ones. But mm-hmm. when we got the first samples, Chris sent them to me, and I immediately went on a tear in a spot that I thought was burned out. And, you know, like 100 fish in like 3 days. Nothing over 5 pounds and probably not too many over 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an immediate response. And the main thing, though, was I caught about 70% of them subsurface because there was weeds and I wanted to go under them. And I mean, you know, sometimes you only need a foot. The rat's only got to wiggle twice sometimes in a hole to get bit.
Yeah.
You know, but it's this one, you know, I think that guys can, you know, scratch the bottom a little bit. You know, a lot of water is shallow anyways.
Yeah.
But this thing will swim in 2 inches of water and it dives about a foot. You know what I mean? But this year especially, and maybe just because I haven't done it before, I would say 98% of my fish, and I've probably caught a couple hundred bass this mm-hmm. summer, were subsurface.
What was your big one this summer?
About almost 8 pounds.
That's nice.
So, but yeah, up there it is. But And then you know what you see the next day. Nightcrawler containers floating. That means your bass is probably dead.
Yeah, right.
So, but yeah, there's some people. They, you know, I need to get a different truck because they see where your truck's at, and
they're looking at what you're doing up there.
Well, not necessarily what I'm doing, but where I'm fishing. You know, yeah. But the people do it. You do it at the lake too.
Well, I kind of like my newer boat is all white now. It's not wrapped. And I kind of like that because people don't know who I am again. Because I have my black boat. It's like, you know, it's a black, a little aluminum boat. It's mine for sure.
Well, you know? For me, I've got trout stickers all over the side of my boat and a big old Rego Bait sticker. And you'd be surprised.
The center console too?
Yeah. Is there any other kind? But but basically when they, well, the one that really kills me is when you pull your boat out and they walk up and go, "Hey man, you throwing swim baits?" Yeah. What kind? I go, "Oh, just something I'm messing around with." What it means, I got these stickers on my boat. Nobody even notices anymore. They don't care. So it's not, you know, but,
I have a question for Chris. What made you guys want to, move forward with this rat? Did you have some other baits in mind? What caught your eye on this one?
For us, just being able to build on the success of the D3, the first one, and something that's a little bit different. And it really fits my personal fishing style well between the waking and cranking. And, you know, before Jerry mentioned it this summer, to me, I was mostly waking it. But after he said he was getting a bunch of his on the crank down, I started cranking a little bit more and saw similar results. But for us, just something that fit nicely. In our, you know, our stable of baits, something that could be fished nationwide and worldwide for that matter. We had a buddy that was out from Japan a couple weeks ago and sent him home with a couple, and he sent me pictures of fish that he's already caught on it. Yeah. So the interesting thing is rat baits are, they look big as far as like size and everything goes, but the bait's overall 10 3/4 inches, but it's only like 5 inches of the
without
body.
The tail. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not big, and they weigh 2 ounces, so you can fish it on pretty much anything. And that's really what we look for when we're picking what baits we're going to do next.
Yeah, this seems like you don't need it as heavy as a rod either to throw this one. It's a little smaller. Do you feel like the not many people have done a good one piece, so you kind of wanted to move forward with that? You know what I'm saying?
We did the Roach with Jerry. It was a single piece, but it was smaller. What was that, maybe 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, the Roach.
Yeah, so smaller one. And we liked it. Good success on it. Just, again, something different. Everybody else has multi-piece rats. And
that's like the trend right now. You see a lot of multi-piece rats. You don't really see one piece.
Yeah, everybody
that's
thinks
what I
more
think
joints.
Is cool is yeah. It's something different.
Yeah. You know? This I noticed was in beat up places. They just come right out when you're standing there and drill it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whereas most of the time I'd wait till it was dark or almost dark. You know, I don't catch a lot of fish at night on it, you know, but I'm not out there. I'm not down here that much, but right before dark and just a little bit after, like say the bone to me, you can't beat it when it's almost dark. Just cannot beat bone. You know what I mean? But 10 o'clock at night, I don't notice any difference.
Yeah.
You know, in the color. I've never been a black rat guy. You know, everybody typically in the past, everybody wants a black bait for at night. I just never really liked black or white on the rats, where that's what most people would fish. You know, I've done the best with I like a darker version of the brown, but this one here, this is a chestnut color, and this is probably the best one for maybe everybody, but the gray, you don't see that many gray rats, but gray always works. It's just, I don't know why, it's just always been a good one. Sometimes I'll even change out the tail and I'll put a gray tail on the
other end of the, makes sense.
You know what I mean? But sometimes most of the time it's a black tail, you know what I mean? But sometimes I want the bait to stand out.
Mm-hmm. You know, about the hair on there? Is that something you've always done instead of painting it, like carved it in?
This is a...
You know what I'm saying?
Because I never really painted it. I tried putting some blocking on them before. I even tried skinning a rat before.
And putting
fucking... Yeah, glue it on there. You know, I skinned...
Are you fucking serious?
I skinned about 1,500 coyotes and 300 bobcats. I know how to do it. But, you know, at the first sale, they'd go, 7,332 rats. And it'd be muskrats, right?
Yeah.
And then it'd be like... 7,000, like they'd make like 50 cents a rat. I just want to skin those rats. I'm not kidding. That's how many they get. You know, they trap them or whatever.
Yeah.
But as far as the fur, I actually have that fur patented, actually.
So the fur it's texture. Carved. The texture, yes. Right. Okay.
And it's just, but I don't have this rat patented, though. But
I was just only asking because I know I've talked to other bait makers and they kind of like certain guys refer to paint it. Well, to them maybe.
Sure.
And but you kind of why go with the carving instead of the painting? It'd probably be easier to paint it, or would you rather just carve it one time? Maybe that takes you a couple days or.
Do you mean as far as wood or carving? Well, carving it.
Well, because you're going to make the no resin, you know, like you carve it all in.
Right.
Then you don't really have to paint it that way because it already has
right,
the
car. Right.
You'd rather go that route.
And then the thing about the fur texture is, you know, you can paint it and then turn it sideways and you get a different multicolor.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, just like a rat has or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
how much harder is it to make this one piece rat? Like when you were starting to make them?
It's actually easier.
Really?
You know, but I did this because it catches fish. You know what I mean? And it's something different, but the main thing is a lot of people think that, once again, that a wake bait or a rat has to have a joint. You know what I mean? This a year from now, next year at ICAST, one piece rats will be the rage.
When you guys started prototyping the first couple versions, was there much to do to it? Like Chris, when you guys came to him and said, hey, let me check this rat out, were you kind of already satisfied with what he made?
I think we just changed. We added texture. We made the ears dimensional.
Why?
Because he wanted that.
And oh, because Jerry. Okay.
All. Yeah.
Yeah. It I think. Flat. Yeah. We changed the size. I think we changed the size of the eye too. Possibly.
Yeah. We did a custom eye. This eye is supposed to be. It's actually a rat eye that's been printed. And like.
Oh, like you scanned the rat eye or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Found one, and so anyway, that's in there. We changed the size of the screw lock in the tail and added swiveling hook hangers. I think that's about it.
Yeah, I think what was cool for me was Chris and I just talked about it a little bit, and then I sent him a picture once. I think I said a little earlier of the gray one, and it just jumped off the page.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "What is that?" Like he goes, "We want that right there," you know, and then he. You know, showed it to his partners, and there we go. Just
nice. What now? When you're gonna go fish this? You've been fishing it a little bit. Talk about what line, what size rod, and different retrievals you like using.
Yeah, so I've been fishing it for the better part of 2 years.
And then
so
my closer Jerry. To your mouth.
Been fishing it for the better part of 2 years, and so is Jerry. So he mentioned waking it or cranking it. Both ways you're going to fish it. Personally, I'm fishing it on 20 pound Iser, Copoly. And then, I like a slow retreat, slow gear ratio reel. So like a 5-to-1.
Okay.
And then medium light or medium heavy. I prefer the LDC and, with a snap. That's about it.
What snap do you like?
Discontinued Japanese snap.
Are you guys coming out with one soon?
Working on it.
Okay. I hope so.
Everything's slow.
Yeah.
I hope we get it. I hope we get them figured out. But yeah, so waking it, I found that on this particular bait, I need to put my rod tip up a little bit. Usually mm-hmm. I fish everything tip down, but waking it will be rod tip, not all the way up, but you know, elevated. And then cranking it, I'll go tip down. And it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
I've caught up fish both ways. My numbers wise, I've caught the most cranking it down, but my biggest fish have been waking it. So
you want to talk about your biggest fish you've caught on it?
The biggest fish I caught on it was about a month ago with the King out here. We were actually filming for this project, and first thing in the morning cast it up on a rock, and it was 10 pounds 12 ounces.
That's the biggest one you've had in a while, huh?
10 years?
No way.
Yeah, my last double digit was an 11, over 11, and that was exactly 10 years ago.
That's pretty good, and recently it's been shitty too. Yes. I mean, were you pretty like shocked when you caught it?
Oh, I couldn't. Well, initially when it the way it ate, I thought it was small, and then it just kind of like came off of the shoreline and went deep, but like I couldn't feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I just assumed it was small. That particular lake is known for small fish lately. And so then I got to the side of the boat ready to boat flip it and realized that it was not coming that way.
Damn.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. It was waking it and just slow rod tip up and boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Cool. How many colors are you guys doing in this?
5 colors.
What are the names?
Gray, chestnut, bone, pink, and black.
Okay.
Nothing outlandish or anything different for names, just pretty standard stuff.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did the outlandish names. It doesn't work too good.
See, I like braid.
Do you really?
Yeah. And I want that instant hook set. You know, like this is essentially kind of a crankbait, and when most people, they want to let the rod load up, or I never let the rod load up.
Do you
up.
Throw braid on your cranks as I well?
Just, I'm sorry?
On your crankbaits, do you throw braid?
No, not all the time. Just only if I think the water's a little bit dirty or,
okay,
you know, I think, you know, crankbait's got that little tide action where with this bait with its wide action, I don't think they're looking at the line so much, but I'm not going to tell you that I could come down to San Diego and get fish on the braid, you know, yeah. A little smart, you know, and then, but I just like the solid hook set, you know, never letting it load. I've just, you know, I like to rail them. It doesn't cost any more money to swing. and a snap, and similar to what the snap that he likes.
Okay.
I like, you know, like a dual lock, but some of them, I always say the dual locks that have a straight crossbar are really good. And if the crossbar is a little angled, they suck.
Why?
They're just made by a different factory.
Oh, okay.
You know, believe it or not, I just found out in the last couple of years that dual lock is a style, not a brand.
No, no
you know
way.
I mean? Yeah, and then like, you know, like let's just say like the egg snaps,
mm-hmm.
you know, or you know, I don't like one that's too hard to open and close. You know, I'm always, this is no kidding, getting bit by a mosquito while I'm doing it or freezing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got to take my gloves off.
Yeah.
I like a snap to open and close, and you know, and you know, obviously they got to be strong because you never know when you're going to hook a real big one, you know, but I just like the freedom of the snap and the changing. You know, I've been told before, you know, snap is for guys that hang baits, you know. Well, I hang a bait every other cast sometimes when I'm testing, you know what I mean? So I don't want to be tying on and,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like I've come to, you know, glide baits, I like to tie right to the nose. No ring, no snap, no nothing.
Do you think that, why do you do that? Because I heard some people use snap,
yeah,
for
some
action.
Do, but
for action wise.
My glide well. Baits have open mouths and sometimes a snap or the ring gets
okay.
caught.
All
you know
right.
what I mean? And I've even tried the little figure eight links. I like those because they turn, you know, like when you pull on it, it turns to glide, you know, turn the bait.
Mm-hmm.
But again, those get caught too. So, but with like, you know, the rat styles, it just, yeah, I'm going to switch. I might even switch colors in between casts, you know, if I got followed or something.
Yeah.
You know, just all about making it easy.
Matching the hatch.
Well, yeah, just simplicity. You know, I wasn't a big fan of the hook hangers, of the swiveling hook hangers.
Why not?
But I am now. You know, they say, I think you're giving them something. Because they can spin.
See, I heard the opposite. Whereas, that you don't have them, they can leverage against the bait.
But I can tell you that since I've been using the swiveling hook hangers, I have a hard time unhooking the fish because they're working. Whereas in the past, I even used, if I really wanted to kill the fish, I'd put the hook right on the screw eye. No ring or nothing.
Oh, shit.
And it will, they're not getting off, but yeah. You're going to kill the fish.
Yeah,
they'll just cut holes in them and hook them again. Oh, you know, literally yeah. on the same fight.
All right, guys, thanks for coming on,
right.
And everyone, grab some bait.
Thank you, Nick.
This month's sponsor too, as well, for the Patreon. So sign up, you guys have a chance at some. So appreciate you guys listening.